Walker.
Joe Fowler is on the other phone here. We've just finished a meeting with Mr. Gullender of the NAM and Mr. Booth of the Chamber of Commerce. We outlined the situation from the point of view of the problems that face you and face the administration. We got a pretty good understanding from them, and the conclusion was that if there is some means of getting better understanding of what we face in the Vietnam War and what this means in the economy, then we will get cooperation from American business. And specifically, after debating this a little bit, they suggest some kind of a White House meeting comparable to what you had on the Balance of Payments program, and the same kind of approach, outlining what the country faces and asking for voluntary restraint in price actions, indicating that the same appeal will be made to labor leaders, and that the government itself is doing all it can to keep down inflationary pressures. They seem pretty confident that with that kind of approach would be well received, and that you would get understanding, and from that full support. They say that there'll be cheaters, of course, there always are, but by and large, this approach would be welcomed by American industry. Now, they say that business people generally are scared stiff by the tactics that have been followed in the aluminum, copper, and now the steel situation, where individual companies have been singled out and expressions used that indicate that the administration leaders might look upon them as profiteers or unpatriotic. And they say that this individual approach is really what's behind the scared reaction that was reflected in their statements. We got copies of their statements, by the way, and in context, they aren't nearly as bad as the excerpts that were picked out by the newspaper people. But nevertheless, they say they're under great criticism and pressure from their members on the ground that they don't know where they're at. They don't know what's going to be done next, and they think the marketplace should prevail, and they see this government, what they call interference, and not having the background, not having understanding. They're getting a reaction now, which they predict is building up fast, so that their strong urging is that this be recognized, frankly, and that we adopt some kind of an approach which would involve you personally talking to the presidents of the 200 or 300 leading companies, and thereafter followed by a pretty full campaign to get understanding generally throughout American industry among the small and middle-sized companies as well as the large ones. Joe, would you want to supplement that if you would?
Yes, on a couple of points. They said that it would have to be a selling effort, a communications effort that would be much more intensive and in much greater volume than that that accompanied balance of payments, where only a limited number of companies were really concerned, actively concerned, and that it would probably have to have the scope of a wartime savings bond drive, that kind of appeal. We probed them a little bit on what would be the what the government would have to do in order to continue to enjoy cooperation in this situation as various prices were raised and various price announcements were made. They were very firm that the government in that situation could not resort to public condemnation of individual companies or even...
All right for them to call their president a son of a bitch, but if he replies, he ought to go to jail. Is that the matter?
And putting it in their terms, that that you would get more cooperation by in effect, taking the Fifth Amendment.
We tried that from January until October on aluminum, and they finally told us just cold, bland, right out on the table. that we are not going to buy your stockpile, and if you don't do it the way we want to, we'll beat you over the head publicly. I told John Harper that at my house. That's what his vice president told us. And we said, now, we got a right, we think, to use our own aluminum, and that we're going to do. We don't have to buy through a company. We've done bought it once, paid you one profit on it. So next time, we're going to use it. And Harper wound up by telling me that he got more out of it than he expected. The settlement was eminently satisfactory, unquote.
Well, I think they're right to this extent, that most of the people in the country know very little about the facts of that particular case. Furthermore,
do they know anything about copper? They got three cases now. They know anything? Do they say anything about copper? The copper people wanted it.
Sure they did. Only thing, no, they don't know that the copper people want it. I don't think that the people in the country do. Every time I say it, tell them that, I get kind of surprised looks. So,
now on the steel case, as I understand it, Bethlehem acted without our knowing it. And U.S. Steel did exactly what they told you they were going to do, not what we told them we wanted them to do.
I'm coming to that. I asked them, I said, well, now, what, for example, would be your feeling as to whether or not individual major companies, I'm not talking about the little, medium-sized, small fellows that don't really matter, but the major companies, should they submit facts and justifications in connection with price increase? Oh, no. If that's part of the deal or if that's required, destroy the freedom of the marketplace. We're trying to give you a faithful report of their initial reaction, Mr. President. Mm-hmm. And I would say that on the problem of communication and explaining the reasons why situation. Put it this way, why we have to minimize the threat of inflation because of Vietnam, they feel that this would be an extremely useful thing, that the average businessman, although he knows that the two facts are there, that there is a threat of inflation and that there is a war going on in Vietnam, he doesn't know yet the facts that relate the one substantially to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And that...
I think that's right.
That, therefore, I can see unrolling here the kind of factual pattern that they think would elicit a large body of cooperation. I think our problems come on the fact that they think that system in which the government explained the problem and exhorted and asked for all cooperation through all the media and methods possible, but did not undertake to assess or appraise publicly actions by individual companies. That's the part of it that they don't buy. Now, let me qualify it to this extent by saying that they thought if we announced a kind of an open door policy that we would be delighted to see people and have them come in if they wanted to talk, that would be well received. But if we insisted that they had an obligation to come in and talk to us before, that would not, that would destroy cooperation. They said on the public assessment of a given price action by an industry or a major company, they felt private communication and consultation, in other words, for us to call them and so forth, that's all right, but it ought to be private and non-public, and it ought not to culminate in any public assessment or denouncing, so to speak. Now, I think we've given you a fairly faithful reflection of the fact that they need a lot of facts and a lot of information that they don't have, that on the basic issue of whether or not there should be an advance notification and that whether the government, the executive branch, should exercise any responsibility in making public assessments of price and wage action, they would be opposed to that. Now, when we asked them whether or not we thought that system would work, and whether or not they were not concerned that the system would break down and that the Congress would take over, we got a kind of a silent response, although one of them said he didn't think that the Congress would at this time enact an advance notification measure.
Unless the President supported it.
Unless the President supported it, that's right. In other words, that left to its own devices, that Congress would not pass the advance notification measure. I think you can see where our assessment of this, where they go along with us, and then where they fall off the boat.
So, Mr. President, they were quite understanding and cooperative, and at the end they said that they would be very happy to put the resources of their organizations at our disposal to try to get a better understanding of the problems. And
getting the story out, sending out to their members any letters or communications that would come from you about it, or Arch Booth. I think Gulliner was stronger on the White House meeting than Booth. Booth said he felt that the chamber would undertake to have a big rally here, whether it be, 900 or 1,000 under their auspices, and administration spokesman could come and explain the situation, give it a little bit broader coverage. I think on the problem of communications concerning the need for minimizing the threat of inflation, for during the particular situation, during the hostilities in Southeast Asia, the relationship to a healthy economy, the desirability of avoiding detailed price and wage freezes and controls, on all of that, they're with us. But they do not, they boggle completely, it seems to me, on the issue of advance, of an obligation on the part of the major companies, even just the major companies, to notify. And they resent bitterly government officials assessing publicly whether or not a price or wage action, price action by a company or a union action, is violative of the guidance.
Well, I think it's something we want to give some thought to. I'm not the main thing I want them to know I had not opened my mouth on the aluminum thing publicly or otherwise, and when I attribute to the business concern at lack of information on the problem confronting us, we've been trying for 9 months to get them to agree to do certain things, and they wouldn't do it, and we finally had to just make a public announcement, McNamara did, that he was going to sell it. And when we did, why, they came right in and did exactly what we'd asked them to do for 9 months, and which was eminently satisfactory, and which the president of the biggest concern said was a better plan than he even hoped for.
Well,
copper, we got a great propaganda campaign about copper, and as far as I could understand, every copper man wanted to do it and wants to do it again. Now he wants to come back to stockpile for more right now, says he's got to have it to keep going. Now on steel, I think steel just told us to take a running jump and go straight to hell. But there's no reason why the Chamber of Commerce should put out a statement that we had strong-armed steel and forced Roger Blau to get down on his knees to us, because as I understand it, I didn't talk to Blau, but you did, Henry.
Yes.
And I understand Mr. Blau told you what he was going to do and did it.
Well, there was certainly no strong-arming.
Well, I mean, isn't that accurate?
That's right.
I mean, you asked him not to raise prices, didn't you?
That's right.
And he told you he's going to raise them approximately half, and that's about what he did, wasn't it?
Well, he didn't do quite that, but he did. He raised some and lowered others.
And that's what he told you.